I argue that ADS-CFT correspondence is like a quantum error correcting code. The idea was that we have an empty hyperbolic space. So this is hyperbolic space. It's much denser in the near the boundary, like less dense in the center. And then we have some degree of freedom or some operator O. I don't know, the phi field or Pauli X spin operators and so on. And the idea is that this operator has some corresponding boundary operator. So information about the bulk is encoded into the boundary like a quantum error correcting. Now, we have argued that it is possible to express this operator in the boundary in various different ways. And then, so let's further study this property. And then namely, I want to construct certain toy model of the ADS-CFT correspondence, which is actually more like a simpler version of the model Bruno was discussing in the tutorial. But so let's further study the property of ADS-CFT correspondence. So this time, let me split the boundary region into five regions, A, B, C, D, E, five equally spaced regions. I think of reconstructing this O operator in the boundary. And we see that if I take region A and B and C all together, it's a pretty big region. And its geodesic or shortest path is like this. Of course, it's farther than the center. So my operator O is contained in the causal wedge. So of ABC. So this means like O ABC, this expression should exist. And then let's take the same partition. Now next, let me take A, B, and D. Then it's pretty big region. So it, then of course there are two possible minimal surfaces, so geodesic. Yes, but this solid line is the shortest path. So O is included in this region. So it's reconstructable on A and B and D. And then this region is usually called entanglement wedge. And the conclusion is that I should be able to reconstruct operator O in, so that's, so by seeing this observation, we noticed that O can be reconstructed on ABC, but it's kind of translation invariant, so it should be reconstructable on BCD, CDE, and so on. So there are five possibilities. And also ABD, B, C, E, and so on. So there are 10 possible combination subsystems you can choose. But 10 is actually the good number in a sense, like this implies that O can be written on any subsystem of three. That is, you pick any three subsystems and it's going to be included in one of these choices. And that's because, well, there are 5, 2, 3, so that's 10 possible choices of a subsystem of three regions. And then this says that O operator should be reconstructable any regions. So this is the property we want for the ADS-CFT correspondence. Then again, not naturally, the question is, there any such code? And then, okay, manual. Again, the answer is yes. But yesterday we looked at the Qtrit code, but we need a little bit more complicated, interesting code that is called 5-qubit code. Then the idea is you encode single qubit information into 5-qubit. All will be like your input qubit, ABCD is output qubits. And the idea is very simple. You start with the initial state, right? Then encode it. So this is 1-qubit. And then we encode it into some 5-qubit state, 5-qubit. And just 0 tilde and 1 tilde are like encoded code word state, logical state of 0 and 1. Now, in Qtrit code discussion, we were able to write down 0 tilde and 1 tilde very explicitly. But for 5-qubit code, it's super complicated. I'm not going to do that. It's very complicated. But in order to actually discuss the 5-qubit code, the so-called stabilizer formalism will be very useful. So this is just a nice technique to discuss certain family of the quantum error correcting code. So the idea is you just pick these Pauli operators. So let me first write it down. It's x, z, z, x, I. And their translations. These four body operators. And actually, you could consider S5 as well, which would look like that one, but this S5 operator is actually not independent from S1, S2, 3, S4. So you're not going to use it, but I'll explain it later again. So the point of this stabilizer formalism is just to pick the right code word subspace. So remember that we are encoding single qubit information into 5-qubit Hilbert space, but the encoding happens in this 0 tilde and 1 tilde two-dimensional Hilbert space. So that's the code word subspace, which is 2D, but that's included in the whole Hilbert space that is 2 to the 5. So that's 32-dimensional Hilbert space. So we want to specify this code word subspace nicely. And then this operator I drew, it's actually useful for that. Now, first of all, these S1, S2, S3, S4 are Pauli operators. That means if you square it, it is identity operator. This means that Sj and S1, Sj, sorry, J, have plus minus 1 eigenvalues. Furthermore, we can actually see that these operators, all S, commute with each other. And to see that, we just observe that, well, X and Z anti-commute. But if you have two pairs of X and Z, like here and here, then anti-commutation get canceled. So S1 and S2 commute with each other. There's one anti-commutation, another one anti-commutation. So it's canceled and then S1 and S2 commute. But if you can actually see that, this is actually the case for all the operators. So S1, S2, S3, S4, and S5 as well commute with each other. And this is nice because this means like we can simultaneously diagonalize like my Hilbert space by using these operators and using these eigenvalues. Here I want to point out that S5 is not independent. That is because I think I wrote something wrong. Yeah. Sorry. XDZX, XDZX, X, yeah. But yeah, these five of them are not independent because if you multiply all of them, it's actually identity operator. X times Z times Z times X multiply together in the same column, it's identity. So only four of them are needed. Now we are gonna define that this H code, it consists of a state which satisfies this equation that is a plus one eigenstate. This is how we want to specify the Codeword subspace. Now the reason why we can specify the Codeword subspace is because there are four constraints, S1, S2, S3, and S4. These eigenvalues, all of them, you can take plus minus one, plus minus one, plus minus one. So by saying everything is plus one, you are picking roughly like one out of 16 states. So there are in total 32 dimensions, so each code will be two dimensional. So there are two orthogonal states which satisfies this condition. Now, this may look a bit complicated, but nice thing about this formalism is like, I didn't need to write down 0 tilde and 1 tilde. I just needed to specify these four stabilizer operators and then define the Codeword subspace. And then if you are looking at like n qubit system with n like 100 and so on, you can't really write down these states explicitly, and then these formalisms become very useful. And if you are more like a physics person, then you can think like, actually this is the Hamiltonian you can think about. Then if you construct such a Hamiltonian or four body interactions, then the ground state should minimize these each energy, which means like this should have plus one, not minus one. So this ground state is actually twofold degenerate, and it realizes the Codeword subspace of the code, five qubit code.
So here, if it is the H code is just two dimension, means we'll have some eigenvectors like S1 and maybe S1, S3 will have the same eigenvector or something like that.
Yeah, H code satisfies this equation, means that the H code contains the states whose eigenvalue with respect to S1, S2, S3, S4, all of them are plus one, not minus. That's how we pick the code.
How do you see that it will be two dimensions?
Sorry? Right. So there are initially 32 states, right? And when I say like S4 has plus one, then that cuts like state instances, then it just divide by half and half. All right. Now, so I have specified how to study the Codeword H code. But now, there are still two states, 0 tilde and 1 tilde. And then we are interested in operator O, that is like operator acting on the initial state input qubit. So we want to essentially understand what is the Pauli X and Pauli Y and Pauli Z operator for this 0 tilde and 1 tilde. That is flipping a spin in the initial qubit, 1 qubit initial state, how it affects in the 5 qubit state. And then, so basically what we want to find is x tilde and z tilde that acts like Pauli x, Pauli z on the encoded state. And then these operators can be found very easily. And I will just first write down the answer. And then let me explain why it's the good operator. It's a five-body operator, which apply x and z everywhere. Now, why is this a good operator? First of all, this x tilde commute with these Sj operators. So this means that applying x tilde doesn't change the eigenvalue of this Sj operator. So if you are already in a code word subspace H code, then applying H tilde keep you inside H code. Okay, so that's good. And then, but this H tilde should have a, and then, I mean, of course, same applies. Right. But we see that X tilde and Z tilde are not simultaneously diagonalizable because they don't commute with each other. Namely, they anti-commute with each other. Because you have X and Z pairs five times, all the times, anti-commutation. So this tells you that is x tilde and z tilde acts on the code word subspace in a sense like it keeps the H code, but it still have some non-trivial action on these states. And then here you can just label 0 tilde so that this is true, right? You can just define 0 tilde and 1 tilde from these equations, and then you can define x tilde and so on. Well, you can see that x tilde actually acts like a Pauli x operator that is so these x operator and z operator, so the pattern will be like we have 1 qubit information and 5 qubit and it's encoded. We had x and z operator initially. The flipping the initial qubit by x and z corresponds to flipping the final outcome with x tilde and z tilde. And these x tilde and z tilde operators are usually called logical operators. The reason is, well because encoded qubit is usually called logical qubit, embedded in the physical qubit. So then logical operators are the ones which changes logical qubit state. So that's how this name was formed, I think. But in our discussion now, returning to ADS-CFT correspondence, this X and Z are essentially O operator in the bulk, and then these are like a boundary operator. That's the interpretation. All right, so then now I have defined 5-qubit code with these stabilizers and then found the logical operators, but the point of the QEC, the quantum error correction or quantum code, is that expression of the boundary operator, expression of the logical operator, is not unique. And to see that, again, let's do x tilde. That's a five-body operator, but we can actually deform or find the equivalent logical operator. For instance, if I multiply x tilde with like S1 operator, then this is still a good logical operator because inside the code word subspace, this acts as a plus one, so it doesn't do anything. If you do this and this operator, so yyix with probably I should add minus sign because z times x is I minus I y or something. So yeah, I probably need minus sign. It's not very. But the point is that this operator is supported on A, B, C, D, E, so it's our B, C, E operator. So indeed, my operator is supported on 3-qubit region. You could try something like this one, and so I don't know if I should put plus or minus, but maybe it's not that important, so let me the point is this one is defined on B, C, and D. So again, it's supported on 3-qubit region. So what we have found is that I have a ADS-CFT correspondence with one input qubit, and then 5 output qubit. This is input. And flipping with X spin is same as A, B, C, E, so same as Y, Y, X. That's what the first equation says. The second equation gives you a similar interpretation, but supported on B, C, D, which. It's kind of nice that this 5-qubit code is already a more captures the more complicated situation of the ADS-CFT correspondence, being perhaps the one of the simplest toy model of the ADS-CFT correspondence. Now, again, I want to express this physics in the language of quantum error correction. That is, it's recoverable from 3, right? 3 subsystems. But this is essentially equivalent to say like a protected from erasure of 2 subsystems. That is, you do this experiment encoding single qubit into 5-qubit state, but unfortunately you lose 2 qubits. But it's fine, still there is a way to reconstruct the original quantum state. So in this sense, ADS-CFT correspondence is a pretty nice quantum error correcting code which corrects erasure errors. All right, so far it's clear? Hope.
Like, what's the recovery protocol, or that's enough?
So, is in a very generic statement, given a quantum error correcting code and given the encoding circuit, finding the decoding can be very, very difficult. It's not really known if it's possible or not. But now, one answer is like for this stabilizer code, yes, you can design a efficient decoder. Did I say something? No, sorry. This is erasure error. Then for erasure error, it's easy to do that. You can just find the expression logical operator on the that supported region, and then that gives us maybe it's not that simple, but there is a way to do it efficiently. But it's because this is erasure threshold, and then if we think about another error, like some random Pauli error occurs to some unknown locations, then the decoding can be very difficult. It can be, I keep forgetting, it could belong to some very difficult complexity class, such a problem. So yeah, decoding can be very difficult. But that's even a story for stabilizer code. And for generic code, that can be even more difficult. That being said, in actual ADS-CFT correspondence, the causal wedge reconstruction, it's already known how to do that. But in some sense, it's not a very difficult decoding problem. But for entanglement wedge, we still don't know. So yeah, that's still a, is it easy or it's doable really? And it's an interesting question, which still remains. Okay, so I discussed one particular 5-qubit code, and then it's nice that this is like a ADS-CFT correspondence. But what was so special about 5-qubit code? Then this 5-qubit code satisfies certain nice property, which is often called perfect code or perfect tensor. So we have discussed quantum error correcting code occasionally in this lecture, but the idea was that we have an initial input state, and then five qubit output. So this is kind of the diagram I tend to draw, that is input coming, and then there is a this triangle means like your Hilbert space is expanded into 5-qubit Hilbert. This is how encoding was done. But in the Hayden-Preskill problem, we have done this trick, that is, we extend this line and then try to capture the situation where you have EPR pairs. And this is a reference. And and this was, of course, a nice trick to capture the situation where you're thinking about like unknown initial state. And then our reference keeps track of it. Now, if we do that, then you can define your wave function psi. That is a 6-qubit wave function. I want to focus on this particular 6-qubit wave function we have constructed in this way. And this 6-qubit state, it turns out to be it's perfect in the following sense. In the sense that it satisfies the Ryu-Takanagi formula. Namely, if I compute entanglement entropy for region SA, then it's 1, SAB it's 2, SABC it's 3, but if I do SABCD it's 2, in a sense that my state I have like 6 legs, and this is 7. And if we want to compute the entropy of SAR, for instance, and there are two possible minimal paths, right? And we should pick the shortest one. So SAR is equals to 2, not 4, and so on. So this satisfying Ryu-Takanagi RT formula. So what this means is like for any bipartition, this quantum state is actually maximally entangled across the bipartition. And such a state is usually called perfect. And it turns out that this state code we are using has this property, that is, if we purify the input, then this is a perfect state. And of course, this is not a coincidence. It's a very important property. Now, now what?
Yeah. Repeat, the perfect definition is that any bipartition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we do S in some. I'm running out of the notations. So let me say, X is some set of subsets. Then it's essentially SX is maximally entangled. So let's use this one as an example. I'm interested in computing SAR. Then I'm curious if SAR is maximally entangled with BCDE. Then perfect state satisfies the following property. SAR equals to 2. So 2 is a maximal value you can get from this. This means like A and R should be maximally entangled with its complement. But that kind of a property should be true for any bipartition. So for instance, again, if I take SAE, for instance, then it's again equals to 2. So for any bipartition, so I drew it as if this is like a, well, it's on a board, so it looks like a two-dimensional object. But any combination of two subsystem, it has entropy 2. Any combination of three, like ABE, it's 3, and ARC, it's 3, and so on. This is a very particular, like, nice. So these are usually called like perfect tensors, and it has very nice property because we have interpreted this T tensor by using R as an input, then other guys as an output, right? So this is one in, five out quantum error correcting group. That was one possible interpretation of my tensor T. But here, when we add the reference state, we are essentially doing this. That is like zero in, six out. So then I can interpret the same object, same quantum state, same tensor as a state. And actually, you can do this game and then construct two in, four out. For instance, I had T, but like, I could actually do this, A and R, and then B, C, D, E. I view A and R as if this is an input. And this is again a code, but it encodes 2-qubit information into 4-qubit. Then I guess you know what's coming now. 3 in, 3 out. And that's a unitary operator. But the reason why this kind of reinterpretation is possible is because this tensor is perfect. Since this tensor is perfect, AR degree of freedom is maximally entangled with BCDE. So this encoding does not lose any information. If AR is not maximally entangled with BCDE, then some of your input will be lost. So this perfectness of the tensor is very important in doing this rewriting. Okay. Yeah, so this is a very strange object, tensors. Again, I mean, if you think about it, it's very natural, right? I mean, it satisfies RT formula. And that's what we wanted to really have, right? ADS-CFT correspondence satisfies RT formula. And if we remove R as an input, and but use it as actually a boundary degree of freedom. You really have a state, not a code, but state. All right, and the reason why I mentioned perfect code and perfect tensor is like basically by having these perfect tensors, you essentially have a toy model of ADS-CFT correspondence, right? So 5-qubit code can be constructed from 6-leg perfect tensors. Now, the reason why we can, I talked about this is just I just wanted to make a connection to random state, which is, I guess, the topic Bruno has discussed. Just so very briefly, if I prepare a hard random state, like 6-qubit hard random state or many qubit hard random state, then A and B. And we know that SA is minimum of A or B size at the leading order. So this means like if you just prepare a random state and interpret it as a tensor, then it gives us a nearly perfect tensor. So this means that I have given you this 5-qubit code very explicitly, but it turns out that all you have to do is just pick a random state and then use it, interpret it as a quantum error correcting code, and then that actually approximately reproduces this property of a holographic quantum error correcting code. And then if you use random tensors and so on, then you can do many computations, which I think Bruno covered. So that's perfect. Okay, great.
I have a question. By nearly perfect, because it's exact, right?
No, it's a little bit like I forgot there is a small tiny correction term. And this even that correction term actually has some nice interpretations, and in the context of holography, it's like at the leading order in the holography, it should be exactly equals to A or B, but there is a corrections, higher order corrections, and some of the this how random subleading term has a nice interpretations. It's not the exact matching, but there is a watching. Yeah. And good. Or
so, means by this random state, what we mean is we take.
Yeah. Just. Yes. So start from any state and apply hard random unitary. You get hard random state. So this 5-qubit code and these things are really actually it's not very special in a sense like. You can actually create it something like that very easily. All right, so. All right, what? Yes. So finally, let me mention that there is a way to. So, but still, this toy model, it's one input and five output, is very. Boring that we don't want to think that our universe is made of 5-qubit or 1-qubit. So we want to construct a bigger toy model. And then this bigger toy model can be constructed by using this idea about tensors. So first I need to I don't think I can really write down the nice hyperbolic space. Bruno, okay. How are you going to do? You are going to draw that, or?
I just took the picture from your paper and uploaded it to the.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, maybe I should have done that. But anyway, let me try for 20 seconds. Yeah, so something like that. Then here's another tensor, other tensors. But the idea, basic idea is we have a hyperbolic space, but hyperbolic space can be tiled with these tensors. Then with the each tensors, you remove one open legs. This corresponds to bulk input. So in the whole lattice, the whole, sorry, hyperbolic space, you occasionally have this one qubit legs. These are essentially the input degree of freedom. So every tensor have 1 degree of freedom that's remaining. All of these defines the input degree of freedom, input qubits. And at the end of the day, we have a boundary, and we have a bunch of remaining qubits near the boundary. These guys can be viewed as output qubits. Then this defines a very big quantum error correcting code where all the bulk degree of freedom will be encoded into the boundary degree of freedom. And
in this diagram, the output qubits would be.
Yeah, so like, yeah, something like that. Yeah. So in this case, I have 6 input qubit and then 40 or 30 boundary qubits. So this is how you can construct a bigger toy model. And this toy model, actually, if you use the 5 qubit code, it actually reproduces the properties of the entanglement wedge reconstruction and the causal wedge reconstruction in many cases. There are some situations where this doesn't work very well. But this bug was fixed, can be fixed by replacing these tensors with random tensors. So just by tiling these tensors, you can actually construct a very realistic model of ADS-CFT correspondence, which Bruno will discuss today. Now, instead of doing this, we could actually use these 6-leg tensors by viewing this 5-qubit code as a tensors, and then we could like do the tensor network with these 6-leg tensors with no bulk degree of freedom, then you get the state. So this is like holographic state. And in this holographic state, you can actually show that it satisfies the RT formula, the Lyoto-Carnot formula, in the sense of this nice geodesics. Sometimes you should find the minimal surface and so on. Yeah, these properties are beautifully reproduced in these toy models. So yeah, so this tensor network approach, it's quite powerful and it reproduces many of the important features of the ADS-CFT correspondence and the quantum gravity. All right, so but I think it's very nice point to review this. So thinking about it's kind of natural in a sense, like we should use random states because we have seen that in quantum gravity, many things are random, like how random and the Page's theorems, scrambling and so on. So it's a very natural thing to do. But the point is that we arrive at this necessity of random tensors by looking at like quantum error correction property of the ADS-CFT correspondence. That is causal wedge reconstruction and entanglement reconstruction. So these observations led to this sharp puzzle, bulk locality puzzle, why we can reconstruct operator in different ways and so on. The resolution was quantum error correction. And then the idea is that there is a redundancy in expression of operators. That is the reason why. So that redundancy gives us the power to protect the information from erasures. But the idea is that if we really inspect these systems, we are naturally led to 5-qubit code or perfect code, and then that can be reproduced by the random state and so on. So far, all I can say is like somehow this tensor network thing works really beautifully, and it actually works magically, and then but we really don't know why, in a sense, like it somehow worked. And then but it's really nice that these highly entangled objects, like this random tensor constructing the space-time, which really matches our intuition that space-time is emerging from quantum entanglement. And yeah, so these tensor networks are still very useful in predicting many interesting properties of entanglement in black holes and so on. That being said, these approaches are usually very good for some fixed time slice, like fixed slice. And then suppose like you want to perturb the system and then create some excitations and then yeah, moving around and doing some dynamics and so on, then these tensor networks are not a very good approach. So in some sense, like these tensor networks are very good toy model for quasi-static or static, like saddle point-like geometries, and then it captures the entanglement property very well. But these ideas are actually very powerful and central in driving like page curve and so on. Yeah, in ADS-CFT correspondence. Right, so that's probably all I prepared today. Maybe I ending a bit too early, but hopefully it's fine. Oh, so I have one more lecture, right? I know on Friday. So on Friday, I'm gonna switch a topic a little bit, and then I think I will discuss the holographic task, which you guys probably have heard last Wednesday by Alex May, because I feel this is a really the exciting and the new development. Like all we have seen so far, like tensor network, random tensors, scrambling, it's nice, but I think his thing is really adding new extra dimension to this research of the holography and quantum information. So I'm gonna try to say something about that. Anyway.